Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavīryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. Yeah, top of 13. And who is a sadhu? Right, because it's mentioned here, it's recommended that attachment should be transferred to the self-realized devotees, the sadhus. Right, that's what should be done. So then, who is a sadhu? That has to be defined. That's the thing. The Vedic literature is very clear exactly the definition. Otherwise, the modern context is no clear definition. Because of that clear definition, things keep changing. Right? Which is, one, is just they don't know, so they don't give a clear definition. Or two, they don't want a clear definition, so they can change it. Because we always have to remember that much of the main thrust of things getting done is political and economic. Right? So, therefore, sometimes unclear definitions are good. For the common person, they don't even ask about it. You know? Like that. Yeah. So they don't ask about it. And because they don't ask about it, then it's not necessary. You just have to mention the platitudes and it sounds good. You know? Like that. So there's a... Yes.
Can I ask about following the qualification in the morning with the matali about the guru and the Martina, Martin, who wants to take initiation and you say no?
Yes. No, I'm saying, okay, that's what you're talking about, okay.
Yeah, like following the same, more or less, I have some confusion about, it's mentioned that the bona fide guru have like bona fide disciples or something like that. Because I hear one case when Mataji said, I don't want to be initiated by this guru because he has so many unqualified disciples.
Because he has so many unqualified disciples. Uh-huh. And she doesn't want to just become another one.
No, she wants somebody more high quality or something like that.
But why would somebody of more high quality want her as a disciple? You understand? So, but the point is it's not about these things. See, it's to not take initiation for someone or not to accept someone doesn't technically mean that there's a fault. That's the modern context, is that if I'm not doing something, there has to be a fault. Right? Now, if someone asks, oh, why didn't you take initiation from this guru? Oh, he has too many unqualified disciples. You know what I'm saying? So then everyone will go, oh, of course. What's the actual reason? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. Because the thing is it's about the fit between the instructions that the spiritual master gives and the ability to understand and apply those instructions of the disciple. You know what I'm saying? So, it could be that, in this case, that this guru knows how to talk and deal with unqualified people. Right? Because technically, if you look at it, who's qualified? Right? As we mentioned before, that if you want to have fun, look in the Panchatantra Pradeep, you know, the original GBC publication. In the second volume in the appendix, it gives the list of, I think, 20 qualifications that Hari Bhakti Vilas says is required for a disciple before you initiate him. And one might find even after, you know, 20, 30, 40 years in the movement, one may not have those qualifications. So technically, who is qualified? So now it's a matter of, okay, they're unqualified disciples, but are they able to take the instruction and apply it in their life and thereby become qualified? Does that make sense? So you have the element is like Lord Shiva. Are his disciples qualified? Right? Somebody's got to do it. So someone is a nature that can work in that area, then deals with them. Does that make sense? So if someone's taking disciples just to increase the volume of disciples, that's not recommended. But if it's a matter of no one else will take care of these people, and they know how to deal with such people, then what's the problem? So then it's a matter of I'm not unqualified in that way, therefore I find someone who would deal according to my condition. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it's about going back to Godhead. It's not a social thing. Yeah? So that's all. Because probably the ones who are the disciples in that group, they probably feel inspired by the others who are there. And if you don't feel inspired, doesn't mean there's something wrong with that group. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, is it... Now, seeing that we can make only one choice here, right? There can only be one right, right? There's one right, everything else is wrong. Okay? So, is the grain to eat, is it wheat or is it rice? Right? We're not even going to bring up about corn, right? One is right, all others are wrong. Is that correct? No, because you go. A huge amount of the world eats rice, a huge amount eats wheat, a huge amount eats corn. And somehow or another, they're all alive, you know, and doing fine. You know? Because they've kind of found that sometimes the guys that, you know, eat wheat go mess with the guys that eat rice, and it doesn't work out so good. Now, you've never seen the guys eating rice mess with the guys that eat corn. No, it's the guys that eat wheat that mess with everybody. Yeah. Yeah? You understand? So that's the thing. But what works for you? Like I remember once, I was arranging for some of the Bengali boys. We were going to some program in Bombay. And the train is, you know, I think either 33 or 36 hours. And, you know, I was supposed to take care of these boys, right? Take them over. And this would have been like, I don't know, 78 maybe or something. So then I arranged this basket with, you know, it's because things you can keep. You cook chapatis, put ghee, stack them up, and then roll them while they're hot. And they stay soft. And when you unroll them, you got about 10 minutes, you can eat them. They're nice, otherwise they turn into crackers. Right? We had samosas. We had all kinds of things. You name it was in that basket. There was probably enough for, you know, 10 people. There may have been 3 or 4. You know, it's standard. You know. We got to Bombay. And then the person who told me to bring them over and make sure that they're okay, asked them, you know, so how was everything? Well, it was okay, like that, you know. Things weren't right, you know, didn't eat. What was the problem? He says, we didn't eat for 2 days.
No rice.
No rice. Didn't eat for 2 days, right? The guys had, you know, food coming out their ears. And then 2 days, and he called me over and started yelling. He said, what is it? I told you this. He didn't feed him for 2 days. And I listed off all the things that they ate. And then he turned to the kids and said, so did we eat that? He says, yeah, but no rice. You know? Yeah. So, yeah. So it's a problem. You know? Does that make sense? So the point is if rice works for you, then that's perfect. Right? But there's others that come and they eat rice and there's no, you know, nothing here. There's no You know, I'm going to die. I'm only eating rice. It's like air, you know. You know what I'm saying? And then the guys that eat corn know rice and wheat, they're both like air, right? You know. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that you're matching the compatibility of the medium of instruction, not the instruction. Because every guru, they're all giving the same instruction about developing love for Krishna. But it's the medium that they use. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that medium is what that spiritual master can explain it, and that's what the disciple, how they're able to accept it and apply it. That's the match, yes.
Sometimes we see with the time.
The time.
With the time.
With the time.
You accept spiritual master, it seems to be everything is fine, you match. And then with the time you don't anymore. Your conditioning changed, not his, of course. His.
Of course. Good call.
So it's not a match. And it's
but the point, that's why you have siksha gurus.
Yeah.
Because it's about siksha. See, once one's connected in a bona fide way and you're following instructions, then you supplement from wherever.
Nothing to worry about.
Because the point is some people, they come with the conditioning and that conditioning remains, though it gets purified. Some come with a particular conditioning, as it gets purified, it changes.
Yes.
Yes. It's changing to what it is once it's in its natural state. I mean, most will not agree with this at all, because they say you can't change nature. Yes, you can't change the nature, but you could be in more ignorance than your nature. What is the Brahman? What's the mode? What's the Kshatriya? Goodness and passion. What's a Vaishya? What's a Shudra? Now, let's say by association, even though you have a Brahminical nature, but by association, you're acting like a Shudra. So when you come into Krishna consciousness, you'll start there, but you'll see after some years the Vaishya tendencies come up, and then this, and then eventually you'll get to Brahman. I've watched it myself on so many cases. You know, when you have the kids come in, it's that they start off one thing, some remain the same, some change 2, 3, 4, very few get all the way to Brahman. But once they get there, it remains, and it's like that the rest of their life. It's not that they've changed, it's just that so they weren't in a Varnashram system where their nature was being cultivated in its natural way. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that. So, it's only someone who's a devotee won't get affected. Like Prahlad Maharaj is born amongst the demons. He remains a devotee. But if you're not a devotee, it's easy to get distracted by the association. Does that make sense? So, it's not common. And very few, and generally most don't see it because, one, they don't understand Varnashram or accept it. So, if they're saying it can't change, they're just going by the point in the book, which is we agree with. But it's not that, it's just like we say, you have a gold ring, and it's covered with mud. Right? But if I just see the mud, I'll say it's mud. But by close investigation, you'll see, no, it's a gold ring. You just have to wash the mud off. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is those who know more, they see potential. Right? Some kid comes in for a job, he doesn't have the skill, but you see potential. Well, others come in with better skills, but no potential. So, which do you take? Yeah, potential. He starts off sweeping the floor, but after a while, he'll be one of the main managers in the company. Because he's got potential. So you have to be able to see that. You understand? So that's why these things aren't well understood. So, it may be that it worked at the time, but with time it doesn't. It's not ideal, but that's why when you cultivate, it means those who do inspire you, you keep the relationships. It's not that when you choose a Diksha Guru, you dump everybody else. Right? So, let's say 5 people inspire you, but then 1 becomes prominent, you want to take initiation, the other 4 still remain. So that inspiration is there, and with time others may be added, because you can add unlimited siksha gurus, you just have one diksha guru. Now if it changes so much, then it's good to work it out with the diksha guru that someone else is going to be more prominent in the way of siksha. Right? But if it's not, it's just a matter of still following the spiritual message, you may just not, you know, how you say it, be as close, then it'll still work. That's the thing, it's a dynamic, because being conditioned, it's never ideal. Right? If we're coming from a more pious background, generally speaking, then we're more stable. But because we're not, then we don't necessarily have the qualifications for that stability. Or as qualifications develop, we become stable. It may be different from what we were before. Does that make sense? So whatever it may be. Okay. Or it may be, you know, like you said, the spiritual master doesn't change because he was always like that. You just didn't see it. You know, so there was something there that caught your attention and you're inspired by. That's still there. But it may not be the prominent aspect in the overall nature of the spiritual master. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why these things, one always has to be very delicate. Yes?
I asked how to understand that the spiritual master is a external manifestation of the Paramatma.
Is a manifestation of external manifestation. I mean, oh, that doesn't make sense. If it was an internal manifestation, it makes sense, or
internally is Paramatma and externally is the Guru.
No, I'm just saying, what's the problem here? The external part, the Paramatma part, the Param part, the Atma part?
No, the Param is
the ex Atma, the eternal Param. You know, what's the part that's the problem?
How is happening that being the representation
of the Paramatma externally,
many gurus have been cheated and used for their own purposes for some disciples.
Okay. But the whole thing is why are we focusing on spiritual masters? How many disciples were cheating?
No, I'm saying
you know what I'm saying?
I'm
just saying. So a disciple is supposed to also be connected with Krishna and everything. You know what I'm saying? I'm only asking because generally in these discussions, the disciple is squeaky clean, and the spiritual master is the one where all the faults are to be found. You understand? Huh?
I mentioned opposite.
You mentioned opposite.
Yeah.
No, but you were saying that the spiritual master is taking advantage of disciples for their own benefit. That's not exactly about the disciples being, you know, kind of a little offbeat. I mean, it's at least how I understand. I'm just saying this as a general point. It's not in connection with your question. The point is that they're representing. But the point is they themselves are devotees who are developing their own themselves. Right? You know, we're taking it that I am so qualified, I have to have a spiritual master that dropped out of the spiritual world. But the point is you get what you pay for. You know what I'm saying? That's the sad part. No one wants to hear that because nowadays it's all about who's the victim and everybody fights over who the victim is and everything like that. You know, as I said, if you're an authority, you're always wrong. And if you're not an authority, then you're always, you know, you're the one that everybody's supposed to take care of. But the point is it's a mission where everybody is helping everybody. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, when I came to the temple, I don't know anything, right? Everybody in the temple, because everybody's in the temple, has been there at least some days more than me. And literally, some are just days or weeks more than me. But they know more than me. So they're telling me everything what to do. Guaranteed within, I would say, probably within 10 days to 2 weeks, you know everything there is to know as far as training that to live in a temple. How to dress, how to do everything, what the etiquette is, you know, which hand you use for what, and everything. which guaranteed now you could probably be a community member in some of our major communities in the world, and after 10 years not know any of this. You know, one or two you'll pick up here and there. So now, how did you learn that? Because that means you learned about the absolute truth and the culture of it from people who had only been around days, weeks, or months more than you. When I joined, there were three people in the temple that were second initiated. The temple president, his wife, and the head pujari. Everybody else was new bhaktas. Everybody. Right? In those days, you got initiated in 6 months. So that means they were less than 6 months in the movement when they're all telling me how to do things. How could they represent? You know, they have an ocean of faults if we look at it by modern standards. Because they're trying. Now, one of them, you know, likes to, you know, sneak off and hide in the closet and sleep, and someone else sneaks off and gets the halva and stuffs it in their locker. You know, someone else, you know, everybody's got some uniqueness. So the point is we have to understand it's not about the secondary aspects. It's about the primary. It's that you've heard from bona fide and you're giving. And you try your best to live according to that. And at this point one can say, no, but one has to be the highest standard. But then if we're going to apply that, so does the disciple. So does the disciple. Does that make sense? And there are many situations in the temple that go on today that if you sat there and the deities open or the Abhishek starts or the Prashad starts up, you could probably go down a list and check off who technically is not qualified to be a disciple by etiquette. And you'd be surprised at the names that are on there because you'd start at the top. Right? So, therefore, when you are taking the mission of Lord Chaitanya, expanding it out so that everybody can take care, then the point is there may be problems. There's always been problems. We have this idea, if everybody else is perfect, I'm the only one that can have fault. Right? Somebody comes to Mayapur and then everybody else is... I heard the other day someone said, no one's serious, no one's this, no one's that. And it's kind of like, and you? You know you're perfect? No, I'm not perfect. So why, if you're not perfect, why is it everybody else has to be perfect? Until everybody else is perfect, then only I can be inspired. How does this work? The point is it's like, I'll only come to the hospital if everybody in the hospital is healthy. You know what I'm saying? Let's say there's someone in the hospital, they have a disease, not contagious. They can walk. You can't. They can push your wheelchair around. Now you're going to say, no, you're sick. You can't push my wheelchair around. You know, nurse that comes in and changes, you know, your sheets and all that. But she's having problem with her mother or with her husband or that. Oh, you can't change the sheets. You understand? So it's a personal movement, but we tend to make it impersonal. Though we're talking about people. But it doesn't mean you can't talk about people and be impersonal. Does that make sense? So we have to understand the basis of the whole thing is it, of course, otherwise why would it be mentioned in the Shastra unless it happens? So disciples fall away, gurus fall away, everybody falls away. It's the material world. Prabhupada said if one person goes back to Godhead, he'll consider his whole endeavor. And that means from 1922 to 1977, he'll consider that whole thing worthwhile. One. Prabhupada said, don't be surprised who leaves, be surprised who stays. Right? Does that make sense? So if one starts from that platform, then it's a matter of people get as far as they can. You know? You get on the bus out here and then say, well, I heard that one of the buses got, you know, ran out of petrol in Runagat, so I'm not going to get on the bus. Right? It runs out of gas in Runagat. Then what do you do? You get on another bus. The point is, you want to get to Calcutta or you want to find fault? So the ideal is, you come, you make a connection with the spiritual master, and that lasts through your whole lifetime. That's the way it should be. But it's also supposed to be that, you know, families stay together, communities stay together, and everything like that. You know, not that you've grown your cabbages, and then suddenly, you know, all these guys with, you know, red marks on the helmets come walking in one way, and then they go by, and then they come with the other way with other kind of insignias on their helmets, and then, you know, it's like, that's not supposed to happen to your cabbage patch. But it's a material world. Things happen. Right? I think there's even a sticker that documents this point. Right? Okay? So the point is you want to go back to Godhead, then you'll be sincere, and you'll get a bona fide spiritual. You'll get. And if that person was there, you're inspired. It's just like, generally you'll see is every disciple was inspired by that guru who later fell down. They advanced, they got together, so now he falls down and they say, that's it. No, now you just keep going. If you really want to go back to Godhead, now find someone else. You know, if you're on the battlefield and the lieutenant or sergeant or corporal or whatever is on the bed gets shot in the head, now what? Right? You just keep this. Somebody else steps in. So the point is this is not taking into consideration the relationship, the emotions, the feelings that's there. We're not discussing that because that's where the loss is. But as far as the spirit, then there's somebody else. That's why if you work together as a cooperative unit, then there's so many there. But it's generally the neophyte, they themselves come up the thing that when my spiritual master's at it, and everybody else, as we said, is a schmutz. Nowadays they say it less. Now the spiritual master's a schmutz also. But before it was my spiritual master, Shakshad Hari, and everybody else is just some mundane, you know, like that. And it's really unfortunate that you didn't take initiation from my spiritual master, but he's come to my appointment, will be giving lectures, so you still can get the fortune by hearing from him. That's a direct quote from a disciple. And he was saying that to me. You understand? So that's what the acharyas say, is that the neophyte thinks my spiritual master is special because he's connected to me. Who's not connected to me, who cares? He's not special because of his own position. He's representing. What? Now, let's say I have some aluminum wire, right? Is aluminum very expensive? Does it carry electricity? So the point is, it's about the electricity. Right? So you're trying to get the electricity. Now, let's say, okay, the gold, the silver, the copper will carry it better. You know, you just want to avoid wood wire. Right? Or rubber wire. Not going to work very well. Right? So that's why we point these things out. But even aluminum, it's about the electricity. We think it's about the diksha, all this. It's about the chit potency. That's why you're supposed to spend time. Right? And you have the thing about the unqualified disciples, then sometimes they take on more than they can handle. It makes a problem. So it's not just his fault. Maybe it's what he should have taken less disciples, so maybe there was a motive, maybe he was just trying to be kind, maybe he was sentimental. But the point is we have to be able to go beyond that and see what's the actual thing of what is the parampara. And if one doesn't like it, hey, go check out somewhere else. You know? You know what I'm saying? You know, the yogis down at the yoga, you know, studio, they're so pleasant and nice and everything. And, you know, see what you get from that. Next lifetime, what are you going to be? You know? A dog in a very peaceful home. You know what I'm saying? So, You want to go back to Godhead or not? That's the real thing. Because the point is we always want to be the victim, so therefore all these issues, then just show how I'm the center of everything. And we'd rather talk about that than actually getting down to it. So you want to go back to Godhead? Then be sincere. Krishna will send somebody. The reason you get a spiritual master is because there was an interest. So maybe your interest wasn't good anymore. Now you don't see. I've also seen disciples who've rejected spiritual masters who are perfectly fine. But they find faults in them that aren't there. You know what I'm saying? So you have that also. So what's the qualification of the person who is complaining? Does that make sense? So it's not that things don't go wrong. They do go wrong. But as far as one of the acharyas said, it's been going on since the time of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was present, gurus were falling down. But we don't publicize that. You know, it's not a cover-up. It's just you're trying to be inspired, so you pick the ones that are doing well. That's who you're going to get inspired. You know, it's not like an old age home where you're sitting there and go, well, did you hear, Harold died last night, three. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder who's next. But some people love to sit around and talk like that. So do you want to go back to Godhead? Or are you going to worry about these things? That's all. Does that make sense? So spiritual life has its own reality. And then there's the mundane life that takes on a life of its own. Does that make sense?
What should be the mentality of somebody who see how come that brother or ex the brother like cheat or misuse the spiritual master?
But the point is why get involved? Just, you know it's wrong, don't do it. You know, why get involved in it? What's the point? What's the advantage? You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. Prajalpa is not useful, even if it's about devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about that. If finding fault in devotees who have done mistakes, and it's not your business, you're not in charge to see that they're developing, then it's just prajalpa. We're talking about devotees, no, we're finding that, we're trying to do this and that. What is it? In the Bhagavatam, it says that this sage fell down. Okay? How much detail is there? Right? How much detail we know about Durvasa Muni and Menaka, right? Wasn't that Durvasa and Menaka? How much do we know? She came out, a bit flirty. He went for it. They had a daughter. Are there more details? Right? There's more detail in Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Okay, now let us say we have a committee here, and they are discussing Durvasa Muni and Menaka. How much do they want to know? They want to know everything. What room, what bed, where were they, what position, right? This, that. They go on and on and on because we want to know how bad it was. No, I want to talk to Jalpa. That's what it is. So the point is mundane, eating, sleeping, mating, defending is pretty straightforward. So those who are interested in spiritual life, you don't need to know the detail. You just know it's there. I never heard detail before. Now people go on and on and on. Like I said, one devotee was there, he disappeared. 6 months later he shows up at the door, rainy night, soaking wet, after dark. Comes in, he opened the door, said, wow, what happened? Where you been? Well, Maya caught me, like that. So, okay, glad you're back. And that was it. I think he may have said, it was something about drugs or something like that. An old girlfriend. It was that. That was it. No one asked, more. What drugs, how much you take, how many holes in your arm, nobody asks. Nobody cared. Nowadays, you got to know down to what size needle they use. You know, he uses a smaller needle, he's more patient, he uses a bigger needle, you know, he's not as patient, so he's like that. But at the same time, he's using a bigger needle, maybe he's more practical. And the other one, he's got a smaller needle, maybe he's too weak, and so he's like... So you could go on and on speculating about this. But who cares? Does that make sense? So, the point is people fall down. It happens all the time. So, what's to learn from that? Okay, how to avoid that? How to not do that? Not, oh my God, this happened. Oh my God, that happened. Like this. That's pretty useless. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. So the point is somebody fell down. Okay, the guy sticks his head up over the edge and gets his head blown off. So what does that mean? Don't stick your head up over the edge. Oh my God, he stuck his head up and got his head. Well, of course you stick your head off and get your head blown off. That makes sense? That's why they make guns that peer around corners. So you don't have to. So the other day they have one. It goes around the corner and there's a cat on it. So they put it down on the ground. So somebody walking by thinks there's a cat. You know, let the cat get his head blown off, right? It's not a real cat, you know, it's just a doll. That's the point is. Does that make sense? So the whole point is reality is one thing. And then what we want to do with it, and for our, because of our conditioning, that's a whole other thing. So disciples take advantage, gurus take advantage, it happens. So we avoid that. Right? Even if every other disciple is bad, we can be good. Right? Relationship with the spiritual master. Does that make sense? Yeah, otherwise there's tons of things we can get distracted by to keep us from being focused on pure devotional service. Because without, oh, if this is like this, how can I go on? How can I, you know? Of course. I mean, but they say that about everything. Yeah. Oh, the manager is like this. How can I? Well, you live in a country. You know, who likes the country? Who likes the government? Name me the government in the world people really like. The guy in 1984 really liked the government at the end of the book. You know. But otherwise, who likes the government? Some people do. Most don't. You know what I'm saying? So that's just normal. So what's the big deal? Why make a big thing out of it? You know what I'm saying? We do our best, they do their best, and life goes on. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Okay. It's all right. It's all right. Okay. Yes. And all we said was, "And who is a sadhu?" Right?
Yes.
And this is what we got. Okay. A sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or a long beard. A sadhu is described in the Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly engages in devotional service. Attachment to a devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord, because if one associates with a sadhu, the result will be that the sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee. A worshipper, and a sincere servant of the Lord. These are the gifts of a sadhu. If we want to associate with a sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instructions on how to improve our material condition. But he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of the contamination of material attraction and how to elevate ourselves in devotional service. That is a result of associating with the sadhu. Because that's the thing sadhu means, to cut. So cut material attachment. Does that make sense? So, as long as we can see by what that someone's sincere in trying to do that, as long as that works for us, then it's a good connection. Now, what their own personal, between them and Krishna, them and their you know, God brothers, God said, that's another thing. Like that. Does that make sense? Because you can say, no, but if they have any fault, then they can't be. But if I asked if we ask Yudhishthira Maharaj, is he perfect? What's he going to say?
No.
No. Any devotee that we know is proper, will they say? So then that's the whole thing. Nowadays, though, if you say you have a fault, oh, that's it, he admitted it. Right? I didn't say, he admitted it. So now I can go after it and make a whole scene out of it because he admitted it. Now I'm free to do whatever I want because he admitted it. I'm off the hook. I have no responsibility. Say anything I want because he admitted it. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying I'm a dog. Yeah? So, now is we going to go after that one? Yeah. Right? So this is the difference. You have to know what's what. Therefore, you had all the Babaji's on one side and you had Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on the other. Right? So, is this okay?
Gloomy weather, gloomy subject.
Yes. This is like so. Like, this is more like what we used to talk in the late 80s and 90s. You know, like that. We haven't had to discuss these things for a long time. But before, that was pretty prominent. You know, so you can see if you hit the triggers, there's a lot there. It's a hot topic. That okay? Okay. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur concludes, the cause of bhakti is association with devotees. The door for liberation in the form of living on the same planet, etc., is open. However, such liberation is only an unsought result for the pure devotee. So the pure devotee is not trying to get out of the material world onto the same planet, become a close associate, or have the same opulences. Right? It's just like this. Okay, of the two, Nandagaon, Varshana, which one's more opulent?
Varshana.
So here it's the opulence of the devotee is greater than Krishna's.
Greater than Krishna.
Varshana has got more opulence than Nandagaon.
Yes.
Right? So that's the whole thing. He's the source of opulence, but the manifestation of, because rasa means the manifestation of interaction. So Vaikuntha, you might have the same opulence, but in Braj, you can have greater opulence. If it's useful for the service. If it's not, like the cowherd boys, they don't need more opulence. But they'll claim they have more strength than Krishna. Right? They'll wrestle with Krishna, they'll defeat Krishna. Right? Krishna's been bad, so he has to fix Radharani's hair. You understand? So it's a whole different scene. Makes sense. Two are balanced.
Yeah.
It's only one side or the other, you got a problem. Thus, the perfection of yoga, full freedom from illusion, can only be attained by the mercy of the devotees through practice of devotional service to the Lord, bhakti yoga. It is the only truly auspicious path, right? Therefore, in the Kali Yuga, the importance of the founder Acharya. The founder Acharya, then we know, is always one of the Lord's associates. So we don't have to worry about that. So that means, since it's a mission, through the practice of devotional service, practice means we're not perfect. So in our practice, we can preach. So we're practicing, we preach to others who are practicing like this. What are we speaking? We're speaking the instruction of the Founder Acharya. That's why it works. In other ages, it would be very hard because the spiritual master may say so many things or not. Get down to so many details or not. You have to work it out, like we see with Kardama. Kapila didn't get into any detail. He gave essential points. And then the rest of it, Kardama was understood, he knew and practiced. But Devahuti will get into detail. Right? So the founder Charya gets down to everything, the lifestyle, the way of dealing, the food, the cloth, everything. Right? Do we ever hear it here, except for, let's say, with the pastime of sometimes a chudder or something, do we ever hear any discussion in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes or in the Acharyas about what clothes to wear, what food to eat? No. We hear something, what they're eating, what they're wearing. Why? Because they all will just naturally follow, they're pious, they'll naturally just follow the Vedic culture, so you don't have to separately arrange that. But for us, we wouldn't have a clue. You understand? Okay, we know cows are sacred, so I don't eat at McDonald's, but can I eat at KFC? You understand? Right? Does that make sense? So the bun is just baked, so it'll carry more karma, but the KFC, everything's deep fried, so it carries less karma. You understand? That's why we need a founder Acharya, so he can tell us, don't do these things. Right? So all we have to do is say, this is the way you put on a dhoti. You don't have to be, you know, shakshadhari twaina samasta shastra. You just have to know, you have to sincerely have faith in it and know how to do it and teach it to the next guy. Therefore, you'll see in the line, you have preachers and they may have problems. But the point is it doesn't invalidate the help that you've gained. Maybe after that you may not want to take any more help, that's up to you. But you can't negate, oh, I was cheated. What's this cheat? Everybody's cheated. Well, why it's always, oh, I was cheated. Why it's always cheated? You know what I'm saying? So that's the... Because otherwise, if we say we're cheated, then we have to admit we were an idiot also. So no one's doing that. So best not to go there. Verses 21 to 27. Recognizing the sadhus and the effect of sadhu sangha. If one has the good fortune of meeting a sadhu, one will hear and chant about the Lord in his association. He will advance towards perfection in Krishna consciousness. The essence of the entire process of Shankhya Yoga is ceasing service to the modes of nature and always devotionally thinking of the Lord. Right? Because service to the modes in nature means you're doing something because of the modes rather than doing something because of the devotion. It doesn't mean that technically the modes aren't involved in the mechanics of the operation because you're dealing with material energy. But what is the motive behind it? It should not be the modes, it should be to please Krishna. Okay. The entire process of Shankhya Yoga is ceasing service to the modes of nature and always devotionally thinking of the Lord, His names, His qualities, and His pastimes in both the material and spiritual world. This process will award His association in this very life. In the next four verses, the Lord describes the symptoms of a sadhu. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the second qualities of a sadhu, tolerance, compassion, etc., are described in verse 21. And the principal quality, staunch devotional service to the Lord without deviation, is described in verse 22. Quote, the symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures. And all his characteristics are sublime. So these are, so here are the secondary qualities. Generally, these aren't the ones that we would may first come to mind. Right? Tolerant, merciful, friendly to all living entities. Has no enemies. He doesn't see others as an enemy. And he is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures. And his characteristics are sublime. Right? In other words, they have something to do with Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada writes, a sadhu, as described above, is a devotee of the Lord. His concern, therefore, is to enlighten people in devotional service of the Lord. That is his mercy. He knows that without devotional service to the Lord, human life is spoiled. A devotee travels all over the country, from door to door, preaching, quote, be Krishna conscious, be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Don't spoil your life in simply fulfilling your animal propensities. human life is meant for self-realization or Krishna consciousness. End quote. These are preachings of a sadhu. He is not satisfied with his own liberation. He always thinks about others. He is the most compassionate personality towards all the fallen souls. One of his qualifications, therefore, is karunika, great mercy to the fallen souls. While engaged in preaching work, he has to meet with so many opposing elements, and therefore the sadhu or devotee of the Lord has to be very tolerant. Right? So the opposing elements are opposing him. Does that make sense? It's not that he has a problem. It's just that just comes up just because you're preaching. People are in the material world because they want to be here. Right? So, you know, they may have doubts occasionally about it, and so that's a good opportunity for preaching. Right? Yes.
Sometimes we think that it's unconsciously that the people want to be in the material world because they always search for a better situation.
Yes.
But you can't offer them the better situation. It isn't there.
Yes.
So, why don't they take the Krishna consciousness?
Because there's still some faith that if I continue to adjust the situation, they'll find something. So they still have faith in that principle of I can control and therefore enjoy. They just feel that I haven't found, you know, me yet. You know, like that. That's all. You know, what city to live, where to live, what kind of clothes, what kind of friends, what kind of food, what kind of activities, sports, this, that. They just figure when they get that all right, then everything will be perfect. But at the same time, as if there's any thought that there something's not working, it can be used as a spark to fan Krishna consciousness. Because the underlying reason why they're looking through all these things is because their soul. It's the soul that wants to be happy. The body really couldn't care less. You know, which part of the city it's in, what floor it's on, it doesn't matter. Right? It's the soul who identifies it with it that actually matters. I probably mentioned this soul is the doctor. Right? It means you have somebody, they're conditioned by conditioning, they're a doctor. It's not that the body's the doctor, the soul is the doctor. The body's dead matter, the soul thinks I'm a doctor. So that's the illusion, because he's not a doctor. He's serving the Krishna. Yes?
Mark, you say that the soul is dormant while we're here and not practicing devotional service?
Not practicing devotional service, but still. That does that means he's sat chit ananda, right? Sat, eternity. So everybody wants an eternal, comfortable, safe position. Chit, everybody's looking for knowledge and endeavoring, using that knowledge to get results that will give them ananda. So the underlying reason everybody's functioning is because they are soul. But the point is the covering is so much. They don't recognize this at all. They don't understand. No, they think that, no, the reason he's saved because everybody should have that. Or everybody should have this, or there's some ideals, or it'll still always be put on the material energy. So then slowly, then you have to bring it to, no, it's because the soul. The soul is the one's looking. The body really couldn't care. You know, I mean, you could say, no, but the body cares. It doesn't. You put anesthesia, you can do anything you want to the body. Right? So who cares? The body or us? Right? The soul. The soul cares. Does that make sense? But people don't see that. So they think it's the material energy that's the important. But you always look for these little windows. Because the point is, if someone has enough agyata sukriti, then you catching one of those little windows may be enough that it's, you know, pushes it over the edge into a shraddha. But if not, then at least now they have, you know, that one, you know, drop of agyata sukriti, and then, you know, more in this lifetime over lifetimes, it eventually builds up where they take up Krishna consciousness. So that's why anything connected is good. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of how much you're endeavoring. So the mission is there because there are lots of living entities that have the Ugyata Sukriti to take part. But the point is because it's pastime that it will unfold through our endeavor. Because otherwise you can say, well, why doesn't Lord Chaitanya just save everybody? Then what are we going to do? How are we going to express our devotion? Right? Does that make sense? Is that working? So, when you're dealing with them, you're dealing on a double thing, that they are the soul. That's why there's a point of talking about Krishna consciousness. But you're going to deal with them through their conditioning. Does that make sense? So that goes back to what we were talking about before, the match between the spiritual master and the disciple. It's that you have to see. He can appreciate the conditioning you have, and so therefore you can take what he gives and apply it into your situation. Does that make sense? So the transcendental subject matter, that always matches. But sometimes the medium through which it's expressed, so that may match or may not match. Does that make sense? So that's why then the connection is good, but it may need supplementing from others. Right? Either as a necessity, or that goes nice and then all the other preachers just make it even nicer. Like the meal's complete in itself and you add in a few more sweets, it's great. Right? Does that make sense? You know, or you have a meal but you need some salt. And so the meal's good. It just needs some little thing to appreciate. Is that? Okay. Yeah.
Yes. In the association of devotee, like a big institution like ISKCON, is quite we cannot avoid to have different inspiration.
Yeah, no, we'll have.
It's natural.
It's natural. It's natural because we're a society. It's not that. It's like this. The acharyas, do they talk about the six Goswamis? So why six? Why not Rupa Goswami? And the other guys just happened to be hanging around and Rupa Goswami was there. Right? So that's the point, is these six Goswamis, these are the ones who inspire us. Right? So right there, that's six, not one. But we'll say headed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Right? Or the acharyas headed by Rupa Goswami. Right? So there's prominence, but then there's all so many else. So that's the point. Relations are there with so many. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, how many cowherd boys are there? Right? Must be thousands. You know, maybe more, but I'm just saying easily thousands. So the point is now all those cowherd boys, we haven't heard that they have a problem up there with single mothers or single fathers or orphans or anything like that. So there's a good chance how many cowherd boys are there, there's pretty much going to be close to that of elder gopis. Okay, maybe an elder gopi has a few kids. Okay, so a little bit less. Right? So that means none of them are friends with each other. It's only Krishna and Mother Jashoda, and everybody else is, again, a schmutz. Does that make sense? I'm going to look up schmutz. Good luck. I don't think it's there. It's a derivative of a derivative.
It's schmucky, not schmutz.
Yeah, it's like if you take schmo and that one and combine it, you get that. But it's a pleasant one.
Okay.
You know, it's like saying, that he fudged it up.
Okay.
Right? Yeah, like that. But it's considered a decent term. But this is probably limited, unless you're looking in a Yiddish dictionary, because there are more derogatory terms in Yiddish than any other language in the world. So it's probably there as a derivative somewhere.
I have to find out the dictionary.
Okay, yes. Let's start with the joys of Yiddish. No? Yeah. Okay. Okay, so that's the whole point. Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on this connection in Tattva Sandarbha. Devotees who receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya know the power and effect of that mercy directly. And anyone who takes shelter of such devotees will also begin to experience the influence of the Lord. Any person in this age who honors Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Lord and follows his simple teachings faithfully will become an ideal Vaishnava with saintly qualities described in Srimad Bhagavatam. It says will become. But it's still, the process is still glorious. Mm-hmm. And it's not that only when you become completely perfect, then it's worth hearing something from them. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. So that's why then, there's those who are direct associates of Lord Chaitanya, and then there's everybody else who's following them or following who's following them.
Yes.
Okay. By Lord Kapila, the Supreme Lord born in Satyuga, as the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, 325:21-23 by Lord Kapila. Okay, the saintly qualities are described by Lord Kapila, the Supreme Lord born in Satyuga, as the son of Devahuti. Okay. So definitely, if you want to take the Vedic stuff as archaic, you definitely want to take this one as archaic. You know, we're not even talking 5,000 years ago. You know, we're talking 4 million years ago. Such a sadhu engages in staunch devotional service to the Lord without deviation. For the sake of the Lord, he renounces all other connections, such as family relations and friendly acquaintances within the world. Right? So for the sake of the Lord. So it doesn't mean that he's not in those situations. But it's not about those situations under the modes. It's about engaging those situations in the Lord's service. What? So. Engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. O my mother, O virtuous lady, these are the qualities of great devotees who are free from all attachment. Right? Now, what he's saying, is it good?
Yeah.
Okay. But he just called this lady, O virtuous lady, O mother. O my mother. So does that mean he's materially attached?
No.
Kapila Muni.
Oh,
no.
No.
Yeah, so the point is it's about the relationship based on the connection with the Lord. Right? So that's the whole point. So it may be manifest in family relation, it may not be manifest there. But the point is whatever is useful at the time, that's what's done. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is the living entity is trying to go back to Godhead. And so in the association of devotees, depending upon the particular need, there's those kinds of situations. Does that make sense? Yeah. Footnote 7. Sarva Sangha Vivarjita, free from all attachment, means devoid of the four goals of Artha, Dharma, Kama, and Moksha. This is a very nice definition. Because otherwise, we'll take anything as attachment. Right? However we decide what's attachment or not, then, you know. So, if you're not attached to Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, but you're only attached to the Lord, Bhakti, then that is unattached. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15.5. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association, Nirmana, Moha, Jita, Sangha, Dosha, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are free from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. You must seek attachment to such holy men, for this counteracts the pernicious effects of material attachment. 22-24. In his purports of verse 22 to 23, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the sadhu's qualities and stresses the importance of sadhu sangha. A person in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi, is also called a sadhu because he renounces everything: his home, his comfort, his friends, his relatives, and his duties to friends and to family. He renounces everything for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as he takes his birth in the world, a person has so many responsibilities and obligations to the public, to the demigods, to the great sages, to the general living beings, to his parents, to the family forefathers, to many others. When he gives up all such obligations for the sake of service of the Supreme Lord, he is not punished for such renunciation of obligation. But if, for sense gratification, a person renounces all such obligations, he is punished by the law of nature. 22 purport. Right? So in other words, these can only be given up connected to the Lord. Because otherwise, if you're dealing on the material platform, you have material debts to pay. If you're functioning on the spiritual platform, there are no material debts to pay. Is that... That's the simple. So that's why we don't have to separately deal with all these. We just work within, like for us, guests are just Vaishnavs coming. It's not that it's one of the debts that we have to deal with. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So all these things are just part of just the Vaishnav etiquette and culture because of the connection with Krishna. Does that make sense? We're studying because the spiritual master has said this is what we do. By gaining knowledge, applying it in devotional service, then by the grace of Guru and Krishna, then they will advance in devotional service. Okay? Not that we're studying because we have a debt to the sages. All it is for the materialist, because he'll tend to just enjoy himself. Therefore, at least he'll do some yajna, give some charity, study some shastra, be kind to guests, give in charity and take care of dependents, take care of the unfortunate. Does that make sense? So at least he's becoming a nice guy. But the devotee does all these things because of the connection to Krishna. So he doesn't actually have any debt to pay. So now if there's an opportunity for these or not, there's no problem. Right? He's not performing a fire sacrifice. Life goes on. Right? Because he's doing something else for Krishna. Does that make sense? He's not doing the shredder rites. It's not a problem. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like somebody passes away, you have some program for them, and then that's it. Does that make sense? There isn't something more. But if you're a materialist, every year you have to be doing something. The same ritual you did the first time, you have to be doing every year. And in fact, technically, you have to do it every month for the first year.
Remembrance.
Where do you think it comes from? So it's fate. There are multifarious miseries in material existence, those pertaining to the body and mind, those imposed by other living entities, and those imposed by natural disturbances. Because there's the things, why do other people bother me? It's just one of the things that'll happen. You know, why does the weather go weird? Why do people bother us? Why does our own body and mind bother us? That's just, you know, being in the material world. Right? So, but a sadhu is not disturbed by such miserable conditions because his mind is always filled with Krishna consciousness, and thus he does not like to talk about anything but the activities of the Lord. Maharaj Ambarish did not speak of anything but the pastimes of the Lord. Right? He ran his kingdom, but he's seeing it all in connection with the Lord, because then he's Krishna conscious. If the kingdom runs nicely, then the citizens can be Krishna conscious. Right? Because if things are pleasant, then, you know, people are more open. And Prabhupada says that, you know, poverty destroys all good qualities. Right? So if people are prosperous, then there's opportunity. Same time, they can get proud and distracted also. That's why then things have to be strict. Right? It has to be prosperous, but strict. Generally, it's strict, not prosperous, or it's prosperous, not strict. Right? So, does that make sense? So, the Vedic is, it's prosperous, but it's strict. So, everybody has plenty, everybody like that, all the relations, everything goes on nicely. You know, that sense of ownership, everything is there, but they can't bother anybody else. Does that make sense? Yeah, because bothering someone else is one of the kleshas. You're not supposed to do that. Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunan Uvarnane, Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.18. He engaged his words only in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, so this is ninth canto. So then that's the example. You can do everything, but you're fully absorbed in the Lord. He engaged his words only in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sadhus are always interested in hearing about the activities of the Lord or his devotees. Since they are filled with Krishna consciousness, they are forgetful of the material miseries. Ordinary conditioned souls, being forgetful of the activities of the Lord, are always full of anxieties and material tribulations. On the other hand, since the devotees always engage in the topics of the Lord, they are forgetful of the miseries of material existence. So the point is, you're going to forget something. So whether you forget the material world or forget Krishna consciousness, it's your choice.
Yes.
Remember Krishna consciousness, you're happy. Remember the material world, you're not happy. Right? That's all. But it doesn't mean you can't function. As we see, Ambarish is the perfect example. Otherwise, why is he in the 9th canto? Because then from that, you're going to go into the 10th canto. So there must be something ideal about his character. So you can function here, but it's all in connection to Krishna. Right? And he wasn't just a little small-time king. He was emperor of the world. So not that. In his purport to verse 24, Srila Prabhupada explains that the reason for founding ISKCON is to give opportunity for sadhu sangha. Kapila Muni, herein, advises his mother, Devahuti, that if she wants to be free from material attachment, she should increase her attachment for the sadhus, or devotees who are completely free from all material attachment. We have to seek the association of such devotees. For this reason, we have begun the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There are many mercantile, scientific, and other associations in human society to develop a particular type of education or consciousness. But there is no association which helps one to get free from all material association. If anyone has reached the stage where he must become free from this material contamination, then he has to seek the association of devotees, wherein Krishna consciousness is exclusively cultured. One can thereby become free from all material association. One should therefore give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of persons engaged in Krishna consciousness. And by such association, he will benefit in spiritual advancement. By their words and instructions, he will be able to cut off his attachment to material existence. 24 purport. Right. So that's the whole idea. That's the purpose of the society. So you're trying to organize that association goes on nicely. Does that make sense? So what's the prominent feature? Sadhu Sangha. And now to do that, you need nice management, nice prasad, nice social interact, all these different things. But it's all in support of sadhu sangha, not something else. Does that make sense? So we always have to see that we don't get distracted and think something else is more important. Yes?
Sadhu sangha means to want association with advanced devotee and also to become advanced.
Yes.
Same time.
Yeah, because the point is, if you want pure devotional service, then this is the method. You know, if you're comfortable with mixed devotional service, then you can put it together how you like.
Yes.
But if you're interested in pure devotional service, even though we're rendering mixed devotional service, but we're trying to get to the platform of pure.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Kapila Dev continues, in the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities, virya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and heart. That's okay. So then that discussion of the pastimes and activities with Asvirya, that's coming from Pajumna. Right? Because then we become attracted. Right? So the Pajumna aspect is the Virya. Right? And then Krishna shows his opulence. So that's why we're attracted to his pastimes. Right? Does that make sense?
What's the connection with the Virya?
Virya is Pajumna. Right? In this Kalyana Gunas? The two qualities of Pajumna are Virya and Aishwarya. Like that. But in Vasudev, then all six are there. Right. So the attractive elements of the pastimes are Pajumna. Yeah. Does that make sense? So it's that strength and that opulence that is there that Krishna applies that we become attracted.
Vidam is strength in this sense.
Strength is not strength like bala. Okay. It's strength like potency, opulence. You know what I'm saying? Because Virya is not by seeing the physical activity, it's by seeing the attitude.
There's another word for it in English? Bravery or something like that?
No, it's not so much bravery. Yeah, it just means potent.
Virya is the hero.
Hero?
Heroine.
Hero, heroine. Means the heroine and the hero.
Heroic.
Heroic. Yes. You know, because there's that mood, that you know, that there, that confidence, that so that's the attractive aspect. So Krishna is the hero, so therefore it's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. In association of pure devotees, the discussion of the pastimes and activities, Virya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the heart, ear, and heart. By cultivating Joshanat, such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, Apavarga Vartmani, and thereafter is freed. And his attraction becomes fixed, Shraddha Asakti. Because that attraction is there, so that Virya then becomes Shraddha Shakti. Right? So the Virya through cultivating Joshanat then comes to Apavarga Vartmani. Right? He gets that because he is Asakti. He's Shraddha Asakti. He is fixed. So that's the point. That's what we gain in association with devotees. They have that faith, we gain that faith. By that association. So that's the most important thing we can get. Then real devotion, ratir, bhava, and devotional service, bhaktir, prema, begin. Right? Because ratir means there's an attraction, specific attraction in a particular way that one wants to render that service, and then that matures into prema. Right? Just Mother Yashoda has a particular rati or attraction to serve. There's prema. It's a generic principle. But then there's how do you want to express that prema? Right? You have through sweetness or through aishwarya. Right? And then within sweetness you have five kinds of rati. Right? While in aishwarya you basically only have two. Right? On reverence and shanta. Though you can have, like we see in Dwarka, it's a mix, you know, like that. So then you can have all five within. But is that what it says? But the point is that's a detail. So that's why we're saying it's the first stage. If bhava is developing that kind of attraction, the generic attraction of the devotees of that realm. So we say the devotees of Braja, they have a particular kind of love for Krishna. Then within that, there's the specific of their attraction to serve in the way of the five rasas. So, does that make sense? Right. So that's what's very important. So that's what you're going to get. So we see is now, by associating with the devotees and hearing about the Lord, then it brings us up to this point of rati and prema, bhakti, rati, you know, this rati and prema. So what does that mean? So what prema, what rati? So that means the most important thing you can get from the spiritual master is that development in rati and prema of a particular realm. Does that make sense? Right? So that's where it gets. So the mood that the spiritual master, that's the most important thing. Like that. Does that make sense? Because that's what we're trying to get. Because that's the generic. Shravanadasa means we understand that. Varnadasa means now you're adjusting with applying it in a particular way. Does that make sense? So there's Braja Bhakti, then there's Braja Bhakti in following the gopis, following the elder gopis, following the cowherd boys. Like that. So that's the second stage. Does that make sense? Yes.
But the mood, is it inherent in the sampradaya itself?
It is. But still, that's what you're gaining. That's what you're the spiritual master is your connection to that. Yes. Like that. So that's why then with the founder, Acharya, then that comes through. Even if the person themselves has developed it or not, you can get it. Because it's there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like the electricity is there. So, you know, what's happening in the wire carrying it, that's another thing. But it's there. Therefore it goes into the refrigerator, things get cold. It goes into the toaster, things get hot. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right. It goes into the video machine. Things get stupid. Right? You know, something's happening. Right? It's going on.
Potential is there.
Potential is there. Yes. So that's why is the connection there. Not, you know, is he Nitya Siddha, pure devotee, you know, Uttamadhikari, you know, Mahabhagavata. Yeah. Sorry, thank you. It's been a while. So only the anger side of it was still good. You know, you just have to poke it. Like that. Details of the terms and all that. You understand? It's the connection. And then you get the benefit of all that other stuff. Right? Vishnu Chakravarti. Oh, okay. Okay, we'll stop here.
Yes.
I'm thinking from if it appears that running the schedule now in this evening class we've done for like a week and a half, right? Yeah. So I think we can put the 10 minutes back on for
5:20.
Yeah, because I checked and it works with the schedule. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then it in the time we have left running, it actually gives us 2 full days of class. That means 2 full classes.
Right.
Because over a year, it gives 2.5 weeks of class.
10 minutes.
For 10 minutes, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, 2.5 of the evening class, or the morning class. That 10 minutes makes that difference. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like it, but it does. Because then...
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki
Jai
Janyatai Gaurapingana.